I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I noticed this morning we had a boy band. I can only assume that they cut back on the choreography so that Josh could keep up. Can you just take a minute and pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to worship together. And we pray that as we have come into your presence, that we would fully surrender to you, to hear what you have this morning. Lord, that you let your message come across, not mine, but Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for what you want to teach each one of us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to get up and preach. So I'm really excited. I really enjoy it. I was even more excited when I found out I had till like 2 o'clock to, no, just kidding. Oh, it was a typo. Okay. How many of you are country music fans? Anybody? Wow. Not that many. All right. A few months ago, I heard, this song by Miranda Lambert. It's called Automatic. Anybody familiar with the song? Okay, a couple people. But as I was listening to this song and listening to the lyrics, things started really sinking in with me about how our culture kind of wants everything the quick and easy way, the right now way. And I want to read you some of the lyrics from the song. I'm going to be kind of jumping around the song. So if you're familiar with the song, I'm moving around a little bit. It says, quarter in a payphone, drying laundry on the line, watching sun tea in the window, pocket watch for telling time. If you had something to say, you'd write it on a piece of paper, then you'd put a stamp on it, and they'd get it 3 days later. And then the chorus goes on to say, hey, whatever happened to waiting your turn, doing it all by hand, because when everything is handed to you, it's only worth as much as the time put in. It all just seems so good the way we had it, back before everything became automatic. Don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoy the electronic advances that our culture has come up with. I take advantage of them. But we have become a culture that wants to have everything right now. We want everything to be automatic. We live in a society that is driven by instant gratification. And we send a text, we want an answer within the next 5 seconds. There's a whole lot of other examples that I could give. I'm as guilty of this stuff as anybody. And this message that God has this morning is something that he's been working on in me and something that he's been trying to teach me over years and years. But this whole cultural shift has caused some problems in our relationships with God. We expect God to do things on our schedule. We want things to happen now. We want our prayers to be answered the way we want and in the time that we want. We kind of want God to be automatic. But I don't know if you've noticed that God is frequently late. And as I've grown over the years, I've become more aware that God follows just a completely different time schedule. He kind of runs on a different clock. He's often late. Or at least according to our standards, the way that we're looking at it. There's some biblical examples I want to share with you of God being late. God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. He showed up to him to tell him and Sarah that they were going to have a son. But Abraham was 99. Sarah was like 89. They both knew it was too late. They kind of had this idea that it was physiologically impossible for them to have a child. The irony of the situation, however, was not lost on Sarah. She burst into laughter. But you can just kind of see them saying, God, you're too late. Then there's Moses, 80-year-old Moses. He's been exiled for 40 years. When he gets startled at a burning bush by God. At this point, his hopes and dreams of the past 40 years have probably vanished. And he's just thinking, God, you're too late. His people have already been in bondage and slavery for 100 years or more. A death decree was put out to kill infant male Israelites. So hundreds or thousands of his people have been killed. So he's thinking, God, you're too late. Job, he experienced monumental tragedies. I mean, you can't even possibly fathom how much went wrong in this guy's life. His kids all died. He lost all his material possessions. His wife asked him to turn on God. His friends weren't too good either. And then God shows up. And he's like, I think you're a little late. Everything's already bad. And we think of Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus fell sick and he died. They had sent desperate messages to Jesus to come and help, but he didn't. 4 days after Lazarus was buried, he shows up. I mean, you can kind of see the pain that they might have been feeling. And they're like, if you had been here, you could have helped, but you were late. And then he tells them to open the tomb. And Martha protests, he's been in there for 4 days. He's not going to be alive. Arguably, the most commonly asked questions of faith have little to do with God's existence, God's providence. The most troubling questions are mostly having to do with God's sense of timing. You know, we find ourselves asking so many questions. Where were you when I needed you? When, oh Lord, how long do I have to wait, Lord? Have you ever found yourself asking those questions? I know I have. I want to take you back to look at some really important passages that can help us grasp this puzzling truth that God is frequently late, but he's always on time. That doesn't seem to make sense, but it does. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, God kind of reminds us of a fundamental truth. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This tells me that God operates on a different thought level. He's on a completely different level than us. He has a vantage point that we are incapable of having. He sees things so differently. 2 Peter 3:8 says that with the Lord a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. Obviously, God runs on a different clock. Things look different to him. He functions on a totally different scale. Jeremiah 29:11, in that passage that we're very familiar with, God makes a wonderful promise. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God functions at a different level of intentionality. Unlike you and I, his plans are always good, only good. And that's supported in Romans 8, where he says, "We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." And this kind of forces a conviction upon us to realize that whatever happens in our lives is set to fit a design that God is putting together, a plan that he has for each one of us, a timing that he has for each one of us. God is in control. And he alone knows what is truly best for us. We might think that now is the best time, but maybe he thinks not yet or not ever is the best time. He knows how things need to fit together, and he has a plan for us within his timing. Jumping back to those examples from the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah thought that God was late, but because he came, Isaac was born. Moses probably had some similar thoughts on God's timing, but because God showed up, the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, and we get the story of the Exodus. When God came to Job, a tenfold restoration followed. He was amply compensated for all that he had been through because he remained faithful. Mary and Martha were certain that Jesus was late, but because he showed up, Lazarus walked out of that tomb after being dead for 4 days. And people witnessed the power of Christ. And this story and many others like it, God is obviously late. That is what we see. That is the human perception of what he's doing. That is how we understand it. But if we examine our own lives, we can look back and see all of the times where we thought God was late. I'm sure there's a lot of things that we could easily bring to memory where we thought God was late. We were certain he was. And this is one of the most difficult things for us to understand, for us to get a grip on. We really frequently struggle to make sense of all this. It's such a complex thing. We do, however, have a preview of God's side of the reality, that he's always on time. God's intentionality toward and heart for his people means that he will always be on time. He's not going to forget about us. He's not going to leave us hanging. And from his vantage point, with his love always directed at us, he can and does make sure that he's always on time, regardless of what our clock looks like, regardless of how late we think he is. But yes, God is frequently late, but he's always on time. I want to dive a little deeper into this concept by talking to you about four characteristics of God's timing. In order to do that, I want to take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's going to be up here, but you can also look it up. We're going to start with just verse 1. There is a simple time, where am I getting that? There is a time for everything. That's what happens when I don't read it. I just try to say it. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Has anybody ever read the book The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? There's a story in that book about a night when German and English planes were dogfighting above in the skies over Holland. And after hearing her sister Betsy kind of moving around down in the kitchen, Corrie raced down. For an hour, they just kind of sipped tea together and waited for the loud sounds to kind of die down. When Corrie returned to her bed in her dark room, she kind of was running her hands over her bed to find her spot. And she found a 10-inch piece of metal on her pillow. She rushed back downstairs to tell her sister. She said, Betsy, if I hadn't heard you in the kitchen. And Betsy said, don't say it, Corey. There's no ifs in God's world. God knew, and he took care of it. Do you ever find yourself wondering, what if? What if I hadn't done this? What if I did do this? I know I do. Now, sometimes we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers when we ask him to, in the way we ask him to. But, I mean, how many of you have ever just been frustrated when something you prayed for wasn't answered, or wasn't answered the way you wanted it to be answered? It's pretty safe to assume that all of us have done that at some point. We start to wonder about God's timing in our lives. We start to ask questions like, why didn't God answer my prayers? Do I have enough faith? Doesn't God care about my problems or how I'm feeling? We've all asked those questions. When we're kind of in those dark moments, when we're struggling, those questions come up pretty easily. And I wish I could give you the answers to those questions, but I can't. But here's what the Bible can answer for us. God's timing is sovereign. He is in total control. That's the first of the four characteristics. He's sovereign. And that's what we've been talking about for a little while here. He's got it under control. There's an appointed time in God's timetable for everything. If you can learn to live with that in mind, it'll make those unanswered prayers, a little easier to cope with. It'll make those dark parts of your life seem a little less dark because God's got it. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." All things are laid bare before his eyes. He sees it all. He knows it all. He's in control of it all. Now listen to verses 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, lets us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Real quick side note on the verse. In this passage, he's saying, don't worry about approaching God. You can come to him with confidence. He already knows what the future holds for you, and he's already gone through the trials and the problems that you're going to go through. So let's come to him because he can relate to us. He understands. You know, there might be times when you feel like you don't have a friend in the world, or at least not a real friend, but you have one in God. He can relate to you. Now to get back on the actual train of thought. another way to word the end of that passage, it says, in our time of need. But another way to look at that is God helps you in just the nick of time. Those of you who have been following the Lord for a while, you can testify to that. He helps you in the nick of time. You know, how many times in your life have you been faced with something that was just a seemingly impossible situation? You know, and God intervened just in the nick of time. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to talk to one of your friends who is, about the sovereignty and sufficiency of God's timing, because their personal stories can preach about this way better than I ever could. that kind of leads us right into that second characteristic, to say that God's timing is sufficient. It's more than enough. My roommate in college, he got a notice one time that he owed on his tuition. He didn't have a whole lot of support from his family. He was putting himself through college. He gets this notice that says, you owe such and such amount, and if you don't pay it by whatever date, you can't take your finals. And he didn't know what to do. I was the only one that he was really talking to about the situation. And one day, one of our friends comes into our room and he says, somebody told me to give you this envelope. He hands it to him, he opens it up, and it's the exact amount of cash that he needed to pay his bill so he could take his finals. Now, try telling me that his timing isn't sufficient. It is. Have you ever been in one of those places where you felt trapped? Like there wasn't a way out of it. The last part of verse 1 in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, and a season for every activity under the heavens. You may be in a place in your life right now where you're wondering if God's ever going to show up. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe your marriage is in jeopardy. Maybe you're on the brink of losing your job. Maybe you're really sick and there's no hope. I don't know what your situation is. But whatever it is, I can't promise you that God's going to answer your prayers the way you want him to. But I can promise you that if you hold fast to him, he will get you through it. Getting through it might look a little different than how you picture getting through it, but he'll get you through it. There is a time for every activity under heaven. Everything. God has a time for everything. He's going to take care of you in everything. He's going to be with you in everything. Not 99% of the things. Everything. He is 100% sufficient. He doesn't lack at all. This verse speaks directly to each one of us. You know, for me, this verse speaks right to Steve. You know, I'm kind of the person who wants to charge right ahead and get things done and solve problems. You know, I see a lot of things that I want to accomplish for God. And I have a tendency to rush and push and pull and try to grab at everything that I can for the glory of God. But then I look at this passage. And God says, I've got a season for every activity under heaven. In other words, he's saying, Steve, chill. That's the Steve International version. You don't have that copy. You know, he's saying, Steve, just be with me in my relationship with you. Obey me as I lead you. And I will bring into your life every event that you need in your life in the time that I'm going to give you for your life. I've got it. You know, maybe that's what he's trying to say to you this morning. But maybe he's trying to say the opposite. You know, there are some of you that maybe he's telling, don't just stand there. Do something. Some of you have been just standing there waiting for your ship to come in. For God to show you. But it's come and gone. His timing is sufficient. Trust in it. Trust in him. When he says go, go. When he says do, do. But wait for him to say it. Thirdly, God's timing is seasonal. We're going to look at the meat of this passage. It's verses 2 through 8. It says, a time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do you think the point of this passage really is? I mean, is it really about killing and healing and mourning and dancing? Where is the principle of God's timing here? What can we uncover that he's trying to communicate to us? And I want you to notice something really important in these verses. If we look through them, we've got birth and death, killing and healing, tearing down and building up, weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, scattering and gathering, searching and giving up, keeping and throwing away, silence and speaking, loving and hating, war and peace. Do you notice a pattern? They're all opposites. It's the seasons of life. Sometimes you're going through this, sometimes you're going through that. Sometimes you're going through this, sometimes you're going through that. This passage is describing all the different seasons that we might face in life. Because life does come in seasons. It's not just one big, long, monotonous grind. There will be seasons of vigor. And there's seasons of rest. There will be seasons of loss. But there will be seasons of refreshing and renewal. The key to really living a full life is to catch on to what God is doing in your life during each season that he puts you in. Pray for his perspective in the midst of each season so that you can grow with him and understand what he's doing. So far, we've talked about his timing being sovereign, sufficient, and seasonal. The last characteristic we're going to look at today is also that it is surprising. We are not always ready for what God's going to do. I mean, we can usually think of thousands of reasons why we are not ready to do what God wants us to do. But when I look at these verses, when I look in this passage, one of the things that jumps off the page at me is that we serve a creative God. And who am I to know his ways? His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. And every time I feel like I've got God figured out, he messes me up. You know, he takes me into another season in my life. He surprises me with another way that he's able to work through me, through people. Ways that I never thought were possible. Ways that I never thought were probable. Ways that I never thought were workable. But I'm not God. And to tell you the truth, I'm glad. Aren't you glad that you're not God? That seems like a difficult job. But that would be a good resolution for all of us. Put that at the top of your list for next year. Stop trying to be God. Just learn to live and move and be still in his timing. So let's talk about how to do that. To maximize our potential, there are two action steps that we have to take. I must study the movement of God's timing, get to know it, try to understand it, and seize the moment of God's timing. So how? How do I study the movement of God's timing? Well, you can start with daily taking time for God. Make time for him. You make time for your favorite TV shows or hobbies, right? I do. We can make time for Jesus. You know, if you're having a hard time reading the Bible, maybe try buying an easier to read translation. Maybe that's just what you need for this season. Something to help you understand it a little bit easier. Doesn't matter how you do it, but you have to get God's word into your daily life. God's word can't seep into your heart if it's not getting into your mind. it's not going to jump out of the book that's sitting on the bookshelf with dust on it into your heart. You have to take that thing down and read it. Spend time with God, and His Word will start to seep into your heart. You need to expect Him to speak to you. Expect that He's going to teach you things. You know, maybe you need to vary the pattern of your time with God so that it doesn't get monotonous, so that it doesn't just become a simple routine. This is the time I spend with God. It's not actually teaching me anything, but I know at 8 o'clock in the morning I'm supposed to spend time with God. Maybe you got to change it up every once in a while. Open your heart to God's teaching. Let Him in. Be available. Test all your feelings with God's Word. In a sense, run everything by Him first. maybe improve your study by taking notes. You know, I know Amanda likes to journal her prayers. You know, it helps her keep some fluid thoughts and not get distracted. Obey God's Word at all times. Or at least give it your best shot. That's what God asked for from us, is to give Him our best. Not what we pretend to be our best, our actual best effort. Look for opportunities to live out what He's teaching you. To go out and do it. And share what He's teaching you with other people. Because maybe He wants to teach them that too, and He's going to use you to do it. Right now, you're in some season of life. Only you and God know what it is. Maybe your real close friends and family. But God comes at a certain time during those seasons, and He speaks to you and teaches you about certain issues, about certain things that are going on. And I'm telling you this morning that when God speaks to you, no matter what season that you might be in, you need to not only listen, but you need to respond. It's not just about that first action step of studying and understanding the movement of God, but it's also seizing the moment of His timing. It's about responding to what He's teaching you. So maybe this morning you know that God is trying to speak some truth into your life. Maybe you've never really started your relationship with Him by asking Jesus to be the ruler of your life. Whatever place you're in, you need to respond to God today during the season that He has you in. Seize the moment. See how your life will be changed by God and why He has you in the season that you're in. He does everything for a purpose. He doesn't do anything without reason. But don't just stop at trying to understand what the purpose is, but seize the moment and work with God to fulfill that purpose. Don't just stand there. Do something. Everything's not supposed to be automatic. We have to put the time in. We have to invest in our relationship with God. The song that we talked about earlier, it said it's only worth as much as the time put in. So it's time to put in the time. And if you do that, it becomes a little bit easier to understand His schedule. Late, yet on time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is such a difficult thing to grasp. We pray that You would just be working and moving in us to help us to understand it, to help us to know that You're in control, that You're sovereign, You're sufficient. You'll surprise us, and that our lives just go through seasons. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to be there for each other through these seasons. To just make time for You. In Your name we pray. Amen.